This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney.
The price of a freedom is it free? You must be the change. The revolution is your discontent. Manifesting discontent. The price of our freedom is it free? You must be the change. The revolution is your discontent. Manifesting discontent. The price of our freedom is it free? You must be the change. The revolution is your discontent. Manifesting discontent. The price of our freedom.
A website and new music video were recently launched to encourage greater Cincinnati residents to not only register to vote and get to the polls this election, but to become engaged in their community and vote with their dollars, their time, and their actions. Joining us to look at the mission of the project, Revolution Cincy, and to discuss the effectiveness of Get Out the Vote efforts are Xavier University Associate Professor of Political Science and Sociology, Dr. Mac Mariani, Liz Wu, owner of Turtle and the Stone Productions, who wrote, directed, and produced the music video, and Yemi Oyedaran, who is a partner at audio and video production company Afrosheen. You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Yemi, Liz, and Mac, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having us. Thanks, Mark.
Liz, tell us about Revolution Cincinnati. What was the inspiration for doing this?
It started out as a poem and an idea and kind of morphed into a musical piece. And then, as you can see, it's taken on another life as well. But basically, the idea is just to find ways, and in this case, to use art to inspire people to get engaged in their communities.
Okay. Why do you think there's a need for that right now?
Well, I think that right now, a lot of people feel frustrated. Anytime you log on to social media, you can see people venting their frustrations for whatever reasons that they have. And I think because of that, a lot of people feel like change is out of their reach, that they can't make an individual impact on the things that they would like to. But I would like to counter that there are a lot of things that you can do to improve the state of your neighborhood and your city, and that can reverberate outward. And so I'm encouraging people to focus on the things that they can do, because there is a lot.
Yemi, why do you think there's a need for this message right now?
Well, I think with the tone of the political election that we've been seeing so far, there is a need for some kind of positivity, a different direction in how we express ourselves about an election.
Mac, is that what you're seeing? And as you observe this political season, are you seeing people that are frustrated and they're just not sure what to do?
Well, yeah, I think this is a somewhat unique situation, I guess, for lack of a better word. The electorate clearly has two candidates, and the two major party candidates are more disliked than any other two candidates we've seen. Actually, any other individual candidate has never been as disliked as these two candidates are. You also have a situation in which young people are more disconnected from political parties than they have been in the past. They're also less likely. We were hoping, I think, in 2008 that there was this huge enthusiastic rally around President Obama and the idea that this is going to be kind of a sea change in the way young people are participating. And we really didn't see that. Everything has kind of, you had this jump from 46% turnout among young people to 50% turnout in 2008. And then in 2012, it dropped back down to 46%. So we haven't had the sort of sustained change that I think people were hoping to see. So there's a bit of a disappointment from young people who were expecting maybe that that politics was going to be different, and turned out politics was politics and it continues to be politics. And also the idea that, they do want something better. They're, they're more optimistic than other generations, but at the same time, they're less trusting. And so they want to see things get better, but they don't necessarily trust the people who came before them to do a good job of it. And so it's their time, I guess, to try to engage more directly.
And just as a historical trend, voting engagement among the younger people has been going down since, what, the 60s? pretty much?
Yeah, I think
with the exception of 2008?
You know, it's difficult. There's some work that suggests that some of that drop is due to changing demographics. So, you know, one thing you have to keep in mind is that we've also had a huge influx of immigrants, people who are ineligible to vote. You also have a large number of people incarcerated compared to the 60s. So if you take those groups out of it, it hasn't declined as much as maybe we fear, but it's declined somewhat. And I think the key thing is all the other factors that are associated with voting, whether it's education in particular, income, those things have generally gone up for some groups more than others. But those things have gone up, and at the same time, voting has gone down. So the real concern is, geez, if we're doing all the things that are associated with voting, and we're doing them more, we're getting more educated, our incomes are higher than they were in the 1960s, although they haven't grown as fast as we want them to, why hasn't voting jumped up either? And, you know, part of that, I think, is probably the institutions of political parties have decayed. We no longer we are also more mobile, and people are tied to place. And so when you're moving around a lot, you're much less likely to be involved in politics because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes resources, and you know a year from now or 2 years from now, you're not even going to live in that place anymore. And I think young people in particular are very mobile, and so they tend to be a group of people who, particularly in the last generation, has been less tied to place, and I think that's a big part of it.
Among your students at Xavier, what are you seeing about their level of engagement?
I think it varies. You have a segment of students who are highly engaged, who are very enthusiastic about the prospect of participating in this election as volunteers, as voters. And then you have probably a larger group of people who are somewhat disengaged. They see politics and they kind of tune it out. You know, it's a disconnect, right? Because they're connected. They get more news than I think my generation did. But they're really disengaged from it. Their political knowledge levels, not necessarily at Xavier, but at other places, are lower than they were in the past. And they don't seem as connected to it. And again, excuse me, part of that is socialization. You know, they're the children of parents who weren't as engaged as the previous generation. Part of it is the environment around them, which is much more polarizing, much less social and connected, at least in the terms of politics. And so, you know, they're a generation that I think is looking to find their way.
Liz, what are you seeing with the people that you've been working with in terms of the level of engagement?
As far as the group that put together the video, I think there's a lot of energy, a lot of people who want to get involved. I think as far as from a political standpoint, if I'm just going to base it off of, you know, what I see in social media or so forth with my contemporaries, then I would have to say I feel a lot of people do not feel represented by the current candidates. And so their silence may be reflecting that.
Hey, Yemi, what are you seeing?
I'm seeing much of the same. I'm seeing a lot of disillusionment from both of the political candidates. And I think that's in part because there's so much more diversity we're beginning to see in the country, and not strictly a racial diversity. We're seeing diversity of ideas. A wide swath of people are just not seeing their messages and their America being represented in those two candidates. And we're seeing a lot more, we're hearing a lot more lack of engagement.
And Liz, your project that you and Yemi are involved in, you're definitely encouraging people to vote in this election. But you're also saying don't just stop there, right?
Yes. So yeah. there's a saying, and I searched really hard to find the author of this quote, but it's anonymous at the moment, unless somebody can call in and let me know. But it says basically that volunteering is the ultimate exercise in democracy because you can vote once a year at the polls, but you can vote every day with what you do. And so that was the inspiration behind this particular piece.
Mac, would you agree with that? Volunteerism, ultimate exercise in democracy. That sounds pretty strong.
Well, I think there's some political science. There's a debate in political science, actually. So you have this Robert Putnam School which is, you know, that the idea that citizenship, this connectedness we have to each other, our social capital that we draw on from one another, from the interactions that we have, that we then leverage for politics has gone down, right? We don't, the whole bowling alone thesis, right? We don't engage one another in these consistent social activities. We're less joint. We're not a community of joiners the way we used to be. On the other hand, there's another school of thought that is, you know, young people are thinking about politics completely differently, right? There's this duty-based citizenship of voting and paying your taxes and serving in the military. And those things are more characteristic of older generations. Whereas the younger generation, they're more likely to volunteer. They're more likely to engage in a boycott of a good. They're more likely to communicate on social media with people. So engagement for them means something different. The challenge, I think, again, is that sense of place, right? Because other than the national election, most other politics really takes place where you live. And I think the key thing for young people, particularly people who are like Liz, who are working to build something and working to try to gain some momentum, is for one election, you can make a small difference. But the challenge is how do you persist over time? And what I hear from Liz and others is that it's not about elections. It's about changing the way we live and it's about changing the way we engage one another all the time. And that, I think, is the thing that's been elusive for young people, right? We've had lots of different groups do similar things to what you guys are doing. But what happens is an election comes, an election goes, and they kind of move on to other things, which is understandable, right? Life happens. But the challenge is, how do you institutionalize what you're doing? So even when you're gone, the institution continues to serve that same purpose and continues to connect people. And so that's really the long-term challenge, is not necessarily a person being involved, but an institution that survives. That's the key for political parties. And we really don't have a replacement for political parties. Social media doesn't replace political parties because it's just kind of ephemeral.
We're currently awash in information and social media. Just even if I want to just put out a post on social media, it gets lost in the noise. And we get bombarded with so much political information during this time of the year that we forget that there are other ways that we can have civic duty.
Well, you get bombarded by so much, it's overwhelming.
It is completely overwhelming. And it's... We kind of forget that our civic duty isn't just to vote or just to show up for jury duty. There are multiple other ways. My family's from Nigeria, and my mother used to have a saying that she used to tell us when we were young. If you don't think that something small can make a great difference, try sitting in a room with a bunch of mosquitoes. Very quickly, you'll learn that something very small can make a very massive impact. And that's kind of one thing that we've kind of lost. The previous generations, especially the post-war generation, really came with an understanding of their actions can make a difference, and their actions just as being kind to their neighbors, buying goods from the local grocery store down the street. There was definitely much more of a community activism. And as we've gotten more glued to our screens and glued particularly to our phones, we've been losing the community engagement that you were speaking of earlier. And we're now more focused on other things. And it's been very difficult for the political parties to kind of really adjust to that change.
Liz, the lyrics, vote with your dollars, vote with your time, vote with your actions, vote with your mind. Let's talk about that. How do you vote with your dollar?
So this chorus is just an easy way to remember a few different ways that you can engage with your community on a very simple and direct level. Vote with your dollar is supporting small businesses and also being aware of the footprint of your purchases. Voting with your time relates to volunteering and spending time. If you don't have financial resources to support something that you care about, please spend your time. It actually is more valuable because in the end, you only have so many minutes on this earth. So if you spend your time with something, that really shows how much you care. Voting with your actions has to do with the day-to-day things that you can do, such as showing kindness to others. Also, thinking about ecological conservation, trying to be green and that sort of thing. And voting with your mind has to do with educating yourself so you can make informed choices. And one of the things that's been brought up a couple times so far in this conversation that I'd love to touch on is the idea of place and the importance of place and placemaking. And I think this piece really does relate to that idea of the buy-in, of, you know, being a part of your community. So in your house, when you do something to benefit your house, it benefits everybody in your house. And then when you extend that out to your neighbors, same thing. And so as you feel that you belong to a place and you invest in it, that investment comes back to you. And so it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm doing this thing and I'm wasting my time. It's part of what you do because it's caring for your own environment. And as we collectively do that, then I think that we can see the impact of that on an exponential level. And so just to touch on what he had been saying about place, I think that's super important. And when it comes to legislating change, you can pick a candidate that represents your personal views on a topic. And let's say that they are successful in pushing through a bill that creates some sort of change from a legal perspective. Well, the results of that may take still years. And so change can be very slow from a top-down approach, even in the best of cases. And so if you would like to see immediate change, part of what this message is you can just get in and do something yourself. And so it can be very, very simple. If you're tired of, for example, litter out on your street, you can petition your local neighborhood association, you can petition the city and so forth, and that litter is going to be there for months. If you put on some gloves and pick it up and throw it in the trash can, then, at least for that day, it's done. So it's just taking that kind of mentality of, hey, things aren't hopeless. I don't need to feel only frustrated. Let me look at the things that I can change, that I can do, and put my attention towards that. Because once you start doing that, I feel like it can change your perspective on how you view how things are going around you.
How many people were involved in creating the video?
Over 60.
Yeah.
But what was that like, Yemi? What was all that work like?
It was thrilling, stressful, a lot of fun, a lot of spending time with Liz and my business partner, JP. JP Leong, we did just a lot of work. It was a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the music and the video are targeted, obviously, to a younger audience. What do you think, though, about getting the older generation involved in this to set an example for the younger generation?
Well, interestingly, a lot of the messages that I received from Facebook, from people responding to the video, happen to be baby boomers. So they are on social media and they're very vocal. And I think a lot of them that at least sent messages felt like there was a connection to their time in their youth in the 60s where they, were making statements and getting involved. And a couple of different people that I actually don't really know that well on Facebook just sent me messages saying, hey, this really reminds me of the things that I fought for, and I'm so glad to see this happening again.
Matt, how effective are our get out the vote efforts usually?
Well, I think there's mixed evidence, and it partly depends on persistence. I think what we tend to find is that phone calls are not as good as somebody coming to your door and knocking on the door and talking to you. So face to face tends to be a stronger connection than things that are removed from that. That said, I think when there's a constant drumbeat in the media, partly by what you guys are doing, partly by what other people are doing, it's hard to not be aware. The challenge is, I think, we tend to focus most of our get out the vote efforts, and they tend to rise right at the moment when we're most aware of the vote already. So national elections tend to get a lot more attention for get out the vote when it's really these off-year elections and even local elections that take place that are, that's where we see the lowest levels of turnout. And really, where get out the vote efforts might probably be able to bring the numbers up large, to a greater extent. So I think there's probably, it's understandable, there's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding a national election. But ironically, I think the get out the vote efforts would probably be more effective if those resources were devoted to years when people weren't paying as close attention to politics, because those are the years in which I think people need to be kind of reminded that there's an election and need to, I think the other piece of it is where they also tend to be effective is just getting people registered, right? Some of those barriers to voting that exist, that means that you can't vote unless you're registered. And so making sure you have people out on the streets, knocking on doors, talking to people who are walking by, are you registered? Get registered. Those things do matter because you can't, that's a gateway, right? If you are not through that gate and you haven't filled out a registration form, no amount of message is going to matter. So it's kind of a combination of the two that I think are most effective.
Well, it's interesting you were talking about it's back to business as usual after an election. But do you see with Revolution Cincy taking it's a different perspective? It's got a much broader view and a broader perspective. Have there ever been get out the vote efforts like that before?
Well, I think that some of them are, and I think this is where you, I think you guys are young, so you don't know. We've seen a lot of this since I've been young. I mean, Rock the Vote was kind of the first. I wouldn't say it's the first one, but it was certainly the one that got the most attention. And I think some of them are more about the people who are doing them than they are about the voters. And what I like about what you guys are doing is it's not necessarily just about the vote. It's about building a community. And I think ultimately that it's that sort of association, that sort of civic association and that spirit of association that really connects people to place and really makes a difference in the long term, as opposed to just a PR stunt that somebody does to make themselves feel good, which I think is a different thing.
Topic is also kind of one of the things that I think matters the most in getting out the vote. For the last 20 to 30 years, we've been having the same topics that we've been having in elections. It's been abortion. It's been taxes. It's been, you can go on. We all know the greatest hits. it's getting to a point where people are a little tired of them. You can only hear an REO Speedwagon song so many times before you want to blow your brains out. And that's kind of what these elections have turned out to.
We wouldn't be here if that was the case.
Who was it that said all politics is local?
Politics is local, Tip O'Neill.
Tip O'Neill. I think that's kind of what you're hitting on here, because your website that's connected to the video is asking people about what issues they're concerned about, right, Liz?
Mm-hmm. There's a place on the website where you can cast your vote for, in your opinion, what you feel are the three most pressing issues in your neighborhood. So you select your zip code from the drop-down menu. All of them within the greater Cincinnati area, within the 275 loop, are represented there. And then from there, you can select from a number of different options, and you can even write in your own option if it's not represented there. And then when you click vote, you'll get to see what everybody else in your zip code has said so far. There's a bar graph that pops up, and also throughout the city from the data that we've collected so far. If you don't happen to live within Greater Cincinnati, but you work within Greater Cincinnati or frequent an area, you're still welcome to vote for that neighborhood.
How long has the website been up?
I don't know, about 2 weeks. Yeah, October 1st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you getting a good response to it so far?
We're getting a great response. We've had a lot of traffic so far. I don't have the current data. From last week, we had 1,200 hits, so I'm assuming it's going to be more. The YouTube video has been viewed more than 2,000 times so far. So I would say that's better than, any of my musical projects.
So, you think the message is getting through?
I hope so. One of the parts of the message that I'm hoping is going through is there's a portion on the website that talks about how many slaves you own.
So in Vote for Your Actions, you can find a number of links that talks about your global footprint and the footprint from the things that you purchase. And one of them talks about slavery in the context of indentured servitude. So as Yemi said, you can go and find out how many indentured servants you employ.
And that was the one that I found to be most jarring, because we generally talk about slavery like it's something in the past. It's very much still active in the world. And that's kind of one of the things I'll talk about in topic, is that that's one of the topics that I think a lot of people in the younger generation are actually more interested in than a lot of other topics that come up in the election. And having awareness of these things and having sites like this is very helpful to get an understanding of other topics that affect the world and affect our country.
So, Liz, you've got public events also that are tied to this whole project?
There are a couple. So we're doing a couple of community engagement outreaches, if you want to call it that, on Saturday, October 29th. So at the end of this month, we're going to go, I believe we're still, it's kind of TBA, but I've reached out to Findlay Market. We'd like to set up in Findlay Market and then maybe on UC's campus, just to invite people to have conversations. So I'll have a tablet out there with some other volunteers. People can vote right there if it's inconvenient for them to do it on their phone or they don't have something to vote with. And then what we're hoping is, as people cast their votes and the people around them are gathered, they can start a conversation about what they care about in their neighborhoods, what they would like to see differently in the city, and maybe steps that they could take to make that happen.
But you hope this keeps going even after the election. That's the momentum you're trying to build here.
Yes.
Well, Yemi, Liz, and Mac, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Xavier University Associate Professor of Political Science and Sociology, Dr. Mac Mariani, Liz Wu, owner of Turtle and the Stone Productions, who wrote, directed, and produced the music video, and Yemi Oyedaran, who is a partner at audio and video production company AfroSheen.